Don't you hate it when conflict tears people apart? We see communities torn apart. We see friendships torn apart. We see marriages torn apart. You ever tear anything together? So often conflict causes division, but let's talk about how we could come back together. That sounds tough. Let's discuss it in the corner of truth and life right now. Good morning and welcome to the Corner of Truth and Life. This is Ira Hall, and on this episode, we're talking about torn together. Now, normally, we say torn apart. That's what we're used to. But torn together, well, that just sounds weird. What in the world could we mean by that? What does it mean to be torn together? Well, again, being torn apart makes a lot of sense, and we see it. We see it all around. I mean, it's just our country today is pretty torn apart. We've got the Republicans that don't all agree with one another. You have the Never Trumpers and the Trumpers, and then the Democrats are, you know, you have the impeachers and don't impeachers, and you're just everybody. This separation is so normal, you know, and just every year or every, you know, all the time in our own state here in Maine, you know, you have. Whether you, did you like LePage or do you like Governor Mills or, you know, Republican, Democrat, you know, in our area, pro school district, against school district. I mean, just no matter what, you know, now it's a, you know, for or against the transmission line. There's, no matter what, there are sides. And then out of these divisions, there's separation. You break into to teams or groups. And if that break becomes really strong, so it's not just a difference of opinion, but it becomes a break in relationships, so then we say we've been torn apart. And you see it very much in relationships that fall apart where people aren't friends anymore. Or we see it in relationships where people who used to be together are no longer together, or they get a divorce, or they break up, or whatever, and they've been torn apart. And especially divorce of a family where there were kids and stuff, you know, those are really rough because, well, you know, you have lawyers involved, and it really can be very tearing apart. So that's great. I mean, that's and by great, I mean awful. But, you know, we understand that. That makes sense, and it's just the reality. It's how you live with life. But how do you fix that? And can you? And of course we say, well, sometimes it just, you know, it's broken beyond repair. It's too far gone. And, you know, that may be true of when you break an engine or a car or a glass dish, but are relationships broken beyond repair? So of course, in talking about can relationships be broken beyond repair? We go back to looking at, well, what does the Bible say? And so often, a lot of us, I think, when the minute I bring up the Bible, they're like, oh, brother, here goes the Bible. But sometimes I think the reason we react to the Bible that way is because we have experienced the Bible in terms of a rule book. And if you treat the Bible like a rule book, it's a drag. It's awful. Because if you treat it as a bunch of rules, it gets pretty rigid and pretty rough. And we say, well, isn't that just how it is? And that's how God is? Well, no, that's how we tend to take it. But if you read the Bible, and I mean really read it, not read it as a rule book, and not just pull out what you think of as rules, but to read the whole thing, there's so much more context to that. So much more. And it's a vital context because it's actually, you know, the rules that we call that are in the Bible are actually really not the point. There are things in there that could be rules. There are things in there that are guides, for sure. And some of them are very inconvenient, yeah, for sure. But the message, the whole intent of the Bible is not to deliver some rules. And yet oftentimes that may be how we perceive the Bible, and it may be how the Bible was taught to us. We may have been told by religious figures that here are the rules that you're supposed to live by. And so we can be forgiven for thinking that that's what the Bible's about, is a bunch of rules that are rigid and hard, and miss the bigger picture. So what is the bigger picture? And how does that relate to relationships that have been torn apart? Well, of course, right in the first chapters of the Bible, the very beginning of the story, you have God create man, and then God and man get into conflict because man does his own thing. And that first conflict in the Bible immediately does two things. It separates God and man, and it separates man and woman. Because when Adam and Eve mess up, Adam immediately blames his wife, and he blames God. And you get conflict. And the first thing Adam and Eve do is they hide on God, and they hide their bodies from each other. So you have this massive picture of immediately separation. And what we oftentimes really focus on is the fact that they broke a rule. But really, the broken rule is just the catalyst. The real problem is the separation. As Adam and Eve are now separated from each other, they've been torn apart. They're hiding their bodies from each other. They're blaming each other. And they've been separated from God. They've been torn apart. They're hiding from God. They're blaming Him. And so here's the tearing apart. And what do we see from God? And of course, this is his book, his story. He comes into the garden looking for them. As they hide, he calls. And then right there in chapter 3 of Genesis, he says, "And I'm going to send the seed of the woman," it's referring to Jesus down the road, thousands of years later, "I'm going to send the seed of the woman who will crush the serpent." The one who brought this division about, the one who introduced this and got you to do the wrong thing. And so then fast forward. So we go through, and all the way through, including a lot of the rules in the Old Testament, it was God telling a story about how separated we were and helping us understand how separated we were. And showing that God was going to try to establish a way for us to be unseparated. And it all culminates in the first books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as the Messiah that was promised in Genesis 3 shows up. And he's God. And if you haven't read it, go just read it. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and or John. It's four points of view of the same story, with different, sometimes different details between the different storytellers. But you're looking at Jesus, who's God. He tells people he's God. Why they end up killing him, because you're not supposed to claim you're God. And yet, he doesn't stay away from people. He doesn't separate from people. He moves towards them. In fact, he moved towards them so much that the religious leaders were kind of ticked off, because, like, you're hanging out with bad people. And he's like, well, yeah, that's what I came to do. I came to hang out with people who needed something, who needed help. And so I'm here to help. I'm here to take care of these things. And he moved towards people. Again, so the separation, he was trying to overcome it. So here he's trying to bring people together. And then you read his teachings, and his teachings were about, hey, treat each other nicely. And he took the law and tried to explain the whole point of the law. And they said, well, and these guys had gotten really big on the rules, and so they said, well, which rule's most important? He said, well, listen, here's basically, if you want to sum up the whole thing, everything we taught you in the Old Testament, he goes, it can be summed up this way: love God and love each other. Everything depends on those two things. He goes, that's really what the law was about. Love God and love each other, period. He tells us that all those laws in the Old Testament, all those rules, were designed basically to help restore our relationships with him and with others. He was trying to bring us together. And so then of course, he dies, and he has to die because he has to pay for the separation that we caused. He has to restore with vengeance all the wrongdoing when people were invalidated and when people were victimized. But as he dies, there was this giant curtain in the temple, and it was thick, think like a phone book, thickly woven like a carpet. And it had hung between the Holy of Holies, the place where God was supposed to dwell, and the rest of the world. And as Jesus dies, that curtain tears in two from top to bottom, removing the veil of separation, as it was called. The curtain of separation, the wall, the barrier between God and us. And as Jesus dies out there on the cross, inside, the curtain's ripping in half. It's torn apart. But the curtain is torn apart to bring together God and man, to show that there's nothing standing between us anymore. God had broken down the wall. And that's why I call it being torn together. Because as the curtain was torn apart, we were brought together. So God is busy restoring relationships. Now, what did it take? Well, it took him dying. And he was the one that was in the right. We were the ones that were in the wrong. He was 100% right. We were 100% wrong. And he said, I'll pay for that. Well, that's tough. But he sought to bring together. And boy, we should seek that. We should work on seeking to be brought together. And in our world today, so often we're so busy looking for reasons to be apart. And our leaders oftentimes are not trying to guide us together. They're trying to tear us apart because they want us to fear each other so that we will vote for them. Everybody is corrupt except me. Follow me. Boy, that's a good reason to follow you if that is true. Except it's not really ever true. But boy, they'll spend a lot of time trying to divide us up. And it's not like we even need help, because we will divide each other up. And we will take those who disagree with us, and we will turn them into enemies that must be beaten. And that is not how it ought to be. It's how it is, but it's not how it ought to be. And for it to change, what's going to require? It's going to require us to change it. To do something different. To not push away those who have sometimes wronged us, who are sometimes wrong. Sometimes we're right and they're wrong. I mean, God was right, we were wrong, and he didn't push us away, he sought us, right? Read chapter 3 of Genesis. And God, knowing what had happened, because he knows everything, he walks in the garden and says, where are you? Where are you? And when Jesus came to earth, what did he say? He said, I've come to seek and to save or to rescue that which has wandered away. And he compared himself to a shepherd who lost a sheep. He says, what does the guy do? He goes hunting for it. He doesn't sit there and go, that stupid sheep, I hope he comes home. He goes looking. Are you seeking to tear together or tear apart? Have you been torn apart? Are you willing to seek being torn together? Think about that today. Thank you for listening to the Corner of Truth and Life. This has been a broadcast of the Beans Corner Baptist Church, located at the corner of 133 and 156 in North J. We would welcome you to join us each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. for a service of music and challenge. If you would like to get more information on the church, listen to this show, past shows, or other messages, please visit us on the web at beanscorner.org or find us on Facebook. Thank you for listening, and we remind you to seek truth. This is Pastor Ira Hall. Have a great day.